بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا، داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. فما بعد، فقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. My dear brothers and sisters, we have been talking about the issues, always issues of amal. My focus for myself and for anybody else is always the issue of amal, the issue of action. Because when we go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will not be asked, what did you know? We will be asked, what did you do? And if we have knowledge that we do not act upon, then that knowledge, may Allah protect us from that, can become a hujjah, can become a witness against us, that we knew but we did not do. We ask Allah for protection from this, inshallah. But that does not mean, therefore, that acquiring knowledge is not important or should not be done, because ignorance is not a defense in law. So to learn is fard, but once we learn, to practice that is the real fard. And that is why, whatever we say, let us keep on reflecting. And I remind myself and you, let us reflect on ourselves and say, how much of what I know am I practicing? I was reading a little story the other day of Sheikh Ammar al-Shukri from Dallas, Hafizahullah, who said about his experience in the class of Sheikh Abdullah al-Shinqiti. Hafizahullah was a great scholar of Tafsir and Usul al-Fiqh in Jamia Islamiyah, Madina Munawwara. He said that Sheikh Shinqiti in his class mentioned in passing that the root causes of entering Jahannam are four, and the root causes of entering Jannah are four. So Sheikh Ammar al-Shukri says, I waited for him to elaborate and say, what are these four? He didn't say it. He went on to some other topic. So he said, in the Q&A session, question and answer session, he said, I asked him, I said, Sheikh, you mentioned four causes for entering Jannah, four causes for entering Jahannam. What are these causes? Please explain. Please clarify. He said, this does not need any clarification. And then he said, he held up his fingers and he said, read from Ma Salakakum Fi Saqar, from Surah Mudassir. He said, read from this. So Sheikh Shukri said, I read, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُوا مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. So Shaykh Abdullah al-Shinqiti held up one finger, he said, that is one. Then he said, وَلَمْ نَكُوا نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. He said, that is two. And then he said, وَكُنَّا نَقُودُ مَعَ الْقَائِدِينَ. He said, that is three. And he said, وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينَ. He said, that is four. So قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُوا مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. This is the conversation that is happening with the people who are being led into the hellfire. And the people of Jannah and the Malaika, they are asking them, what happened? How come? مَا سَلَكُكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. What is it that caused you to enter Jahannam? And they will say, we were not of those who prayed. So he said, that is one cause for entering Jahannam. And then they say, وَلَمْ نَكُوا نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. And we did not feed the poor. He said, that is two. Second cause to enter Jahannam, may Allah protect us. وَكُنَّا نَقُودُ مِنَ الْقَائِدِينَ. And we used to indulge with those who indulged. People who indulged in all kinds of prohibited activities, we were with them. He said, that is three. And he said, وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينَ. And we denied the day of resurrection. He said, that is four. Then he said, read from Qad Aflaha Al-Mu'minun. So Shaykh Shukri says, I read Qad Aflaha Al-Mu'minun. He said, that is one. The believers are successful. Alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un. He said, that is two. Who are they? Who are the believers who are successful? Those who have khushu in their salah. Who are mindful, who are thoughtful, who have concentration and dedication in their salah. And then he said, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. And those who avoid useless talk. He said, that is three. And then he said, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَعِلُونَ. And those who pay their zakat. He said, that is four. So four causes for entering Jahannam, four causes for entering Jannah. Then he said, and notice, the ayah, and they pay their zakat, is in contrast to, we did not feed the poor. And then he said, and the ayah, and those who avoid useless talk, is in contrast to, we used to indulge with those who indulged. And then he said, and those who are mindful in their salah, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, is in contrast to لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We were not those who prayed. And he said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, the believers have succeeded, is in contrast to, we used to deny the day of resurrection. And he said, he then smiled and said, the Quran is filled with treasures. We just have to dive for them. I remind myself and you, my brothers and sisters and elders, that the foundation of everything is attitude. All action, whether it's in deen, whether it's in dunya, whether it's in business, whether it's in education, families, homes, outside, whatever. The foundation of all action is attitude. With respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only attitude that is acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is total and complete submission and obedience without question. Without question, not because it is blind, but without question because we know who Allah is. And once we know who Allah is, we trust Allah. Then we don't need to question. I mean, this is a simple principle that we apply in our lives across the board, right? I mean, we have here my elder and dearest friend, Dr. Bajwa. We have known him now almost 25 years. I know he's a doctor. I know he's a brilliant doctor. I know he has treated me before. If I go to him and he gives me some medicine, I will take it. And just in case the others feel bad, there is Dr. Zubair Karim and there is Dr. Mateen and of course Dr. Ali. If he gives me poison also, I will eat it. That's a different issue. But my point is that you trust the person because you know their competence. You have dealt with them. They have benefited you. You don't ask questions after that. Now if you say, no, you have blind faith in Dr. Bajwa. No, I don't have blind faith. I know Dr. Bajwa. It is not blind faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a Muslim says, I'm doing this because Allah said so, and because Allah said so is sufficient reason for me, I don't need anything other than that. That does not mean that we are blind or we are not interested in anything else. No, this is sufficient reason for us. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا خَضَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةِ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is not for a believer, man or woman. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have decreed a matter, that they should have any option in their decision, meaning if Allah has decreed something, there is no argument about that. There is not to say, well, Allah said this, but I have an opinion. No, they have no option in them. Once the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the decree of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is before us, then we obey it. that they should have no option in their decision. And whoever disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has indeed strayed in plain error. This is obedience with knowledge of who Allah is and what our relationship with Him is. It is with the understanding that what He decreed is indeed the best for us and that He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. One is to look at the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other one is to have complete faith that this power will never be used against me because my Rabb loves me. My Rabb is Rahman Ar-Rahim fi dunya wal akhirah. My Rabb said about Himself that He loves me more than my mother. Because somebody may have power, but there's no guarantee that this power will be used only for my benefit. Maybe it will be used to harm me. But no, not with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the trust. So if Allah says do this, we do this. Khalas. وَإِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ Ibrahim alayhi salam. His Rabb said to him, submit. He said, I have submitted. And Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhu reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Rasulullah ﷺ said, verily the lawful is clear and the unlawful is clear. And between the two are doubtful matters. Bainahuma mutashabihat. About which many people do not know. Thus, he who avoids doubtful matters clears himself in regard to his religion and his honor. And he who falls into doubtful matters will fall into the haram, will fall into the unlawful. As the shepherd who pastures his sheep near the sanctuary of the king, all but grazing therein, right up to the boundary. If he takes that risk, then surely some animal will go into the sanctuary of the king and the shepherd will be in trouble because of that. So he's saying here, don't play games with Allah. Don't take risks with the boundaries of Allah. And then Rasulullah ﷺ said, verily, every king has a sanctum, and the sanctum of Allah is his prohibitions. Verily, in the body is a piece of flesh, which if sound, the entire body is sound, and if corrupt, the entire body is corrupt. Truly, that is the heart. And this is a hadith, Sahih, Muttafaqun Alayhi, Bukhari and Muslim. Now, if you look at all of these things, we see the following sequence. It begins with the firm belief in the Akhirah. Who is a believer? The one who believes in the Akhirah. This is the hallmark of the mu'minun, about whom Allah said they have succeeded. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ Who are they? People who believe in the Akhirah. The Akhirah was the sticking point. Those of you who have, you know something about the Seerah. The Akhirah was the sticking point with the mushrikeen of Makkah. For people who are polytheistic, worshipping one additional god is no problem. As a matter of fact, in India, this is how the Christians proselytize. They say, keep whatever you have, just believe also in Jesus. And you are home and dry. So also with the mushrikeen of Makkah, they said, no problem, believe in Allah, no, yeah, sure, no problem. 365, one more, 366. Problem was the issue of I will be resurrected after I die and I will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will answer. That was the problem. A man came to Rasulullah sallam, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from such things. A man came to Rasulullah sallam with a bone from some God knows graveyard or something, one human bone. And he came and he said, Ya Muhammad. And he crumbled the bone like this into a powder, and he said, you are saying that your God is going to resurrect that thing and question him. He's very disrespectful in the way he spoke to Rasulullah. Rasulullah said to him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect that person, and he will resurrect you, and he will put you in Jahannam. So this is the, you know, may Allah protect us. People have the opportunity to earn Jannah, and they end up getting a Bashara for Jahannam. So Akhirah was the starting point. The ideas that we don't end when we die, that we will be resurrected, we'll be held accountable, be rewarded, punished. These were all alien to those people and they rejected those ideas. Now those who believed accepted Islam, and they are the ones about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. A belief in the Akhirah, in the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to look forward to it, to live our lives in a way that the meeting will be good, insha'Allah. This is the foundation of all goodness. And it is the foundation of our religion. This belief is expressed and proven by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, which is salah. To establish salah is the most important commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an expression of the purpose of our existence, purpose of our creation, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to worship Him. Salah is evidence that we are Muslim. If it is absent in our lives, then there is no proof, there is no evidence that we believed in La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. The third principle is charity, which is expressed in the form of compulsory charity, which is zakat, and voluntary charity, which is feeding the poor and all kinds of other good things. Islam came as much as a social reform movement as it did as a religion. It was this aspect of social reform that was so difficult for the power mongers of Makkah to accept. The concept of equality of all humans, irrespective of race and color and gender and or lineage, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the idea that women have the same rights and privileges as men, with the difference between them in terms of duties and responsibilities, the idea that wives were to be treated with respect, and that men couldn't marry as many women as they wished, the idea that inheritance was to be regulated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the importance of humility, no ostentation, good manners, and many more things, all these for the people of Makkah were, for the power mongers of Makkah were dangerous ideas, which were designed to upset their social order, which the leaders of Makkan society fought against tooth and nail. But these are the foundations of the Islamic system, which is based on justice, compassion, kindness, concern for one another, helping one another, and respect for all people. The fourth principle of not being self-indulgent in a way that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closes the loop to the belief in the Akhirah. Those who believe in the Akhirah and the meeting with Allah do not indulge their base desires, because they know that this displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To do so is against the concept of taqwa, which is expressed through salah and zakat and being careful about the hudud, the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This last injunction also points to the importance of keeping good company, because we tend to be influenced by our friends. This needs no convincing, as we are all aware of that in our lives. We advise our children about this and get justifiably concerned if we find them hanging out with the wrong kind of people, but we are less conscious of that in our own lives. And that is because we need to first be clear about what is good and what is not. We tend to see good and bad in a purely material sense instead of in terms of ethics, values and behavior. The foremost of those ethics and values is the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Tawheed and in living according to the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all aspects of our lives. This is and must be our criterion, our sole criterion, our overwhelming criterion to judge who we should be with, and to ask ourselves also if we are fit to be good companions for others. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, قال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. My brothers and sisters and elders, in conclusion, I would like to remind myself and you that these four matters, which is belief in the Akhirah, establishing salah, zakat and sadaqat and charity and lifestyle, that these four matters are also an excellent format for us to use to evaluate ourselves from time to time. I am personally a great believer in documentation and systems. So I would suggest that we spend 1 hour every month. Fix a day when we look at our life over the past month to see how it measured against these four criteria. You're going to get the text of this khutbah with the recording, so print it out. I've given you the format there. Take 1 hour out, shut down your phones and everything else, sit quietly in khilwa, alone by yourself. If the weather is good, go sit outside, it's even nicer to sit outside. And do the following reflection. First one, belief in the akhirah and accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask yourself three questions. Number one, how conscious was I about the belief in the akhirah and resurrection before Allah in the past month? And look for evidence in your life to prove whatever you say. Supposing I say that I think I was very conscious, alhamdulillah, very good. So what is the evidence in my life? What are the incidents that happened in the last 1 month? What were the decisions I took? What did I choose to do? What did I choose not to do? Which proved to me that I was conscious about akhirah in the last 1 month. Believe me, this is between you and Allah. There's nothing to tell anybody, nothing to prove to anybody. But if you do not have incidents to prove your opinion, then that opinion is false. As simple as that. What is not supported by data is a figment of the imagination. We reject it. Data is important. That data is my life. Number two, establishment of salah. Ask three questions. How many times did I pray? On time. Right? It's not just pray. How many times did I pray on time? What is the state of my salah? What am I pleased about? And what needs improvement? So three questions about the akhirah. How conscious was I about this in the past month? What's the evidence? Number two, what am I pleased about? And thank Allah for that. Where did I slip up, which I need to be more conscious about for the akhirah? For salah, three questions. How many times did I pray on time? Not delayed and this and that and khada. On time. When time for salah comes, I pray immediately on time. Number two, what is the condition of my salah? What is the state of my salah? Do I have khushu in the salah? Because that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Khushu in the salah. Do I have khushu in the salah? Number three, in this case also, what is good and what needs improvement? I suggest keep a notebook and write down. That is the way to do it. If you don't write down, you will not remember. Question number three, zakat and sadaqat. How much charity did I give? And for that, the fundamental question to ask is, what is my attitude about charity? Do I consider charity to be a net cash outflow, meaning expense? Or do I consider charity to be an investment with an assured high return? I don't think I need to explain that to you. All people are financial experts here. There is a huge difference. It's not the amount of money. It's a question of, have you ever heard this term, control your investments? Or have you heard the term, control your costs? Cost control, yes? Why? Because net cash outflow is cost, that is an expense. The less you have, the better your financial health. But investments, as much as possible. Investments as much as possible, and in investing, what do we look for? We look for two things. We look for return and we look for the guarantee of the investment. That's the reason why government bonds, even though they don't give you a high return, people buy them because supposedly the government guarantees that. Now, what is investment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? فَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ أَشَرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Man ja'a bil hasanati, and the one who comes to me with one good deed, I will give him 10 likewise. Investment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is 1:10, 1:700. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and yuzaifu limay yasha, Allah will increase as much as he wants. I know the words, you know the words, I know you believe, I know I believe. Issue is, do we really believe? Because as I told you, the data supports the belief. If I believe, what is my investment in my akhirah? I am talking numbers. I'm not talking belief. I'm not talking nice words and intentions. I'm talking numbers. Make a spreadsheet. What is my investment in my akhirah, which is charity? And what is my investment in the dunya? Because no matter what we invest, it is going to stay here. And therefore, what needs to change? Last one. Lifestyle, social life, company, leisure time, management of time. Two questions. What am I happy about? What must change? That's it. 1 hour, 15 minutes for each of these. Sit down with a notebook every month. Inshallah Musta'an, you and I will see change in our lives for the better. Because as I began with saying, in the end, it doesn't matter what you know. What matters is what you do. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from all evil that you know and that you don't know. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you in ways and from sources that you cannot imagine. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, we have been asked to make special dua for our brother Abdul Qadir Awkal, who is very seriously ill. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows whose time is when. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with him, to have to help him, to make it easy for him. Whatever is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that easy for him and to help him in that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give strength to the family who are with him, who are taking care of him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us when our time comes. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help from sources that we cannot imagine, as he promised to help those who have taqwa. We ask Allah to make us among the muttaqoon. We ask Allah to take us and to keep us in a state of obedience to him, complete and total. And we ask Allah to take us in that state of obedience when it is our time to meet him, Jalla Jalaluhu. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعليه وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. أقيموا الصلاة.